Welcome to the new year, right? I wanted to share something that the context. I picked up this book. It's called The Day in Unitarian Universalist History. It's a history of the 600 years, of the last 600 years of Unitarian Universalism. I read it every morning. There is a caption for each day, and it helps me sort of connect to, you know, what our history and really humanity. And a little more backdrop to it. I bought the book. Hilary and I were traveling in Richmond, Virginia, and I was very much struck by this church and the service. And they were selling Beacon Press books there, and I happened to speak to a man who was standing close by the bookstore, and it turns out that he had been, at one time, he did a sermon here at our church, and he's probably about 80, and then the next time I saw a picture of him in the UU World, our magazine from the General Assembly, there was a picture of him, his daughter, and his granddaughter marching with a banner in the parade. And then just a little later, I saw that he had written a book about essentially the role of love and salvation in the history of Unitarian Universalism, which is very much near and dear to my heart, and I think many other people. So the book just seeks to get deeper and deeper. So I'm going to read from January 1st, and I'll just do. Sometimes it's like one line of a day, but January 1st was a big popular day. You know, there's lots of events in our history. But as I said, I'll just sort of skim the seven or eight captions that it has here. Charles Chauncey was born in Boston, son of a prominent family of distinguished educators and Unitarian clergy. He entered Harvard at age 12, which I thought was pretty impressive, you know, for most of us, and studied theology. He wrote several books, including The Mystery Hid from the Ages and Generations Made Manifest by the Gospel Revelations or The Salvation of All Men. He was awarded an honorary degree in Edinburgh in 1742 and died in 1787. On the same day, the patriot Paul Revere was born in Boston. Paul was the leading silversmith, but was said to have participated in the Boston Tea Party after the British Parliament gave the East Indian Company a monopoly on sale of tea. Revere was official courier to the Congress from Massachusetts Provincial Assembly and went on the capacity to carry the message that General Gage was going to attack the Concord Supply Depot. Goes on to speak more about what he did, from his silversmithing to his iron casting of bells, and it ends with Revere was a leading member of the Second Church of Boston, Unitarian, and paid an annual rent of £15 sterling on his pew. Remember, you have to pay for your pews. We don't have to do that anymore. I think it's a good thing. Like, we give the money away. So with all due respect, Paul, I think we've made some movement on that one. Both he and his wife, Rachel Walker Revere, were active members there. Paul Revere died on May 10th, 1818. The Independent Church of Christ in 1779 was convened in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Its founders seceded from the First Parish Church. You know that Unitarianism grew out of the Congregational Church, and a lot was around the issue of the Trinity and a lot about liberty. Goes on to say that the first minister was John Murray, who was often thought to be one of the first founders. He came from England and landed in the shores in New Jersey. So they installed John Murray as the minister, and it's really thought, although other Unitarian and actually Universalist in this case churches had been formed, this was considered to become the first successfully organized and one to survive. So you can still go to Gloucester for this particular one. I won't say anything about Thomas Whitmore, but just did write, except to say that he wrote a history called The Plain Guide to Universalism in 1840. The Unitarian leader, Henry Ware, if anybody is going to a General Assembly, that's one of the major lectures, is the Ware Lectures. And so we have somebody from 1817 who's carrying forth that. Multiple journals were formed, and people were very active on January 1st. Apparently they didn't take it as a vacation day. just doing. Just kept doing, because we've got the Unitarian Missionary was formed on this day. The Independent Messenger was formed on this day. The Boston Observer and Religious Intelligence was formed on this day. And that was by George Ripley. Last one about the Independent Messenger, and finishing up on this, is that the Independent Messenger was formed by Aidan Ballou, and Aidan Ballou was an ancestor of Hosea Ballou, who was from Richmond, New Hampshire, and who was considered to be, you know, one of the founders of Universalism, and he wrote a book about salvation, atonement. That's why back connected to the man from who's emeritus minister in Richmond. And one of the major controversies at this point in time in our history was when you die, was there a period of time that if you done a few bad things, did you have to, you know, have some talking to, so to speak? and myself, I think I would have kind of talked for a little longer. But anyways, I don't want to digress from that. But Aidan Ballou was one that said there had to be a period of time of, you know, some sort of reflection, if you will, after you die. And Jose Ballou was basically of the stance that said no loving God would require that. And for me, on a personal basis, and Roy has heard this many times and being in a covenant group, it probably made one of the most, it certainly made the most transforming picture of the loving church that I grew up with, but that I was very, very troubled by the story of hell. And Hosea Ballou, in his particular writing, had a message really that said, we all count. And to me, it's a direct link to our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of all human beings, period, end of sentence, no asterisk, no qualification, you all belong. And that's in part what I read here, which just deepens my connection, not to as to Unitarian Universalism, but to Universalism of the fellowship of human beings. So that's what I do, and it really just touches me every day. You know, I've been reading this for years now, and I go, oh yeah, I forgot that one. But it, you know, it just, you know, it comes back. So the last thing, which is I shared this before, and I'm going to ask if we could do this together in terms of a responsive reading. It's 468. And a little bit more of the context. As I shared, that my Aunt Lolly died this week. This particular reading, I read at my father's funeral now, some 15 years ago. And the first time I read it, it stayed with me. It remains to me in my singing the living tradition, my most touching thing. And it really speaks to what Nancy did in her poem. In fact, I almost said I wasn't going to do it, because what you said, Nancy, in that poem really is what this is about. I love it. So I'll read the first part, and the rest could read the italicized part. We need one another when we would mourn and would be comforted.
We need one another when we are troubled and afraid.
We need one another when we are in despair, in temptation, and we need to be recalled to our best selves again.
We need one another when we would accomplish some great purpose and cannot do it alone.
We need one another in the hour of success when we look for someone to share our triumphs.
We need one another in the hour of defeat, when with encouragement we might endure and stand together.
We need one another when we come to die and would have gentle hands prepare us for the journey. Thank you for the fellowship and being part of this church, this community. It's a lot. Best wishes for the new year, right?